Ogley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. We've got a banging good show for you here tonight, and right before we get started, I have a few things to say. We are throwing all of our support in behind the judicial accountability movement out in Ohio and Brian Kinter. These people are moving forward like gangbusters, so if you can get over there and listen to their shows, that would be appreciated. If you can join up with Brian's movement, we need you there. We need everybody out there that we can, pulling together to try to get this, whatever this is supposed to be, this passing for the judicial system, brought to a grinding halt. Deb Dahmer won't be with us this evening. I suspect she's off doing something nefarious, but she needs a break once in a while too. So we'll have her back next week. And we will have, hopefully this week, Michael Springman coming on talking about the appointment to the State Department, that is absolutely going to rock all of us. We are seeing the corporate construction of the government done out in the open now. If you didn't believe we were a corporation before, you will when they get done putting this cabinet together. And as a political atheist, the way I see it, if their lips are moving and sound is coming out, they're lying. Anyway, our show tonight is with Sandra Grazzini-Ruckey. And any of you that have been following this case, and I know there's a ton of you that have, what has happened to this woman at the hands of the courts here in Minnesota? And I know everybody said, oh, I didn't think anything was going on up there. Oh, please. This place is a cesspool. And it's just that they've been far more successful in keeping it tamped down, but we're going to be exposing a lot of things going on here in Minnesota. Not tonight. Tonight we're going to be focused on Sandra. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. Thank you for having me on tonight.
You bet. Sandra, to start out with, for the people that might be new to this, the people that might not be familiar with it, give them a little background on what's happened here to you over these last several years.
Okay, a little background would be, this started out as an amicable divorce. Me and my ex-husband, David Ruckey, got a divorce in 2011. We used one attorney. David Ruckey did not want the children. He wanted our company, Ruckey Trucking, which is now TL Trucking. He's, like I said, transferred it. So he basically said, if you give me your portion of Ruckey Trucking, you can have the kids. I don't want them. I went into court. Dakota County Judge Tim Wimmerger signed the divorce. It was all done, signed, sealed, delivered. Custody was done. Property was done. It was a done issue. Approximately a month after that, David Ruckey retained Lisa Elliott of Richfield, Minnesota, an attorney down there who's known for doing stuff like this, and reopened my divorce, claiming that she thought it was a fake divorce. She thought we were just pretending.
Then
we requested that. Yeah, this is a new one. No one's heard this one. A fake divorce, thought we were pretending. He signed all the documents. We even had the U.S. bank banker who notarized everything come in. But, this was once after Judge David Knutson of Dakota County got on board. They tried to reopen it. We tried to get Tim Wimmerger back on it. My attorney at the time did not know what was going on. She was pretty innocent in this. Neither did I. They insisted on having Judge David Knutson. We were very adamant about having David Knutson for some reason, which now we know why. David Knutson then got on my case and actually reopened the divorce. And my ex-husband admitted, I want to keep the divorce. I want to keep it, but I want everything, I want everything. I want the divorce and I want everything. And in the end, what had happened was David did retain everything, but most importantly, my children. Over our 20-year marriage, David is an extremely abusive man, physically, sexually, and mentally. My children suffered at the hands of David Ruckey as well as I did. My children in 2013 ran away for the second time. I'm kind of speed-forwarding here. at that time, I was living by the court order of Judge Knutson on the streets, which I still am today, with no property, no money, no bank accounts, no job, no nothing. My children did run away. They called me. They were in fear for their lives. They had been being abused by Tammy Love and David Rucky at the time. And they asked for help, and as any parent would. I did help my children get to safety. It then proceeded into a criminal matter, and Judge Karen Aspon was put onto the case, which we are finding out now. Everybody, the three judges that were assigned to my case, Judge Knutson in the family court, Judge Karen Aspon in the criminal court, and Judge Tim Mayer, were all had been on previous cases over the last 20 years of whether it was abuse, disorderly conduct, drunken, disorderly, drug charges, whatever it was in a criminal matter, they David went in front of those three judges.
Oh, so he knew them. He knew them real well. He was real familiar with them.
It's amazing now that we're finding out that Judge Karen Aspon of Dakota County can sit in court and say, call David a victim or a poor David Rucky. And then we look back and find out that she had been on criminal matters with him and is quite familiar with David's abusive history and drugs and alcohol and everything else, and dismissed those charges. So we're starting to find all this is starting to open up at Dakota County, the Lakeville Police Department, these three Dakota County judges, Judge Clarence Conkle, and all the way up into the representative senators that knew about David Rucky and his behavior. But the problem is, as it stands now, I have absolutely no belongings. David was awarded all four homes, all our property, our kids, most of all, and my kids are today. I have not had any contact. I can only hope that they're not in an abuse. They're still with him, but I have to believe that they are, and every day they are suffering at the hands of him.
Okay. Sandra, before we go any further, can you turn your volume down just a little bit? We're getting some distortion.
Okay.
Yeah, we could just do that. That would help. So these judges refer to him after this, and I looked at the record that has been exposed on this, numerous instances, but he's always the victim, and he's poor David Rucky.
What I was referring to that was in the courtroom during the trial for me protecting my children from David Rucky, the abusive man. Karen Aspon referred to David Rucky repeatedly as a victim, as poor David Rucky. And this is a judge that had had David for criminal matters and just gone ahead and dismissed them. So she's well aware of his behavior. You want to add about that, Michael, or where do you want to start? Or Marty, where would you like to go?
Yeah. I keep hearing about these wired judges, and the more I hear, the more convinced that this isn't some judicial myth. This is actually the case. We see too much of this going on where these judges, the decision was already made before you ever stepped foot in that courtroom. And how this was going to go down. When I remember seeing Karen the 2020 expose that they did, and even as a so-called amateur journalist or whatever you want to call me, you be careful what you call me. I look at this and I'm listening to this thing, and this obviously was edited to represent you and your attorney in a very negative way. And I did write them a letter about it that I could tell that this had been edited, and it was the questions were posed in such a manner that they knew your attorney could not respond to them without violating her privilege with you. And I think they already knew ahead of time exactly what they were going to do with this. Your children were in a safe place, and they were there of their own free will, were they not?
That is true. Well, yep. They were in a safe place, and they were there on their own free will.
Yep. Okay. And did he ever get custody of these kids back or get possession of them back?
Yes, David Knutson gave David Rucky custody of the two children while they were missing.
Oh.
And he also gave David Rucky custody while he was on probation for violations of orders for protection. He was on violations for that, and I believe in HRO. I think Michael can confirm this, as well as evidence he was on probation for criminally. That's when Knutson gave David Ruckey. I mean, keep in mind, we talk about he has a history. He's been ordered to domestic abuse classes. He's been ordered to anger management classes. You know, Karen Aspon of Dakota County wants to talk about David Ruckey being this wonderful man, but let's point out a little bit between the two parents. And the facts. David has a history of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual, physical, psychological abuse that he caused in his family, as well as a criminal record. They have 31 years of me at the same job at the airlines with no drug abuse, no alcohol abuse, no psychological issues, and absolutely zero criminal record. So nothing's making sense in any of this other than what Michael Volpe was just able to expose. And I agree, the fact that this state that we live in is refusing the Star and Tribune and everybody else does not want to show the facts. I mean, you look at the Pentagon on this one, and clearly the race, why would Judge Knutson get, you know, do what he did and completely leave me out in the street when he threw me out of the house on September 7th? We're jumping all over. You asked some questions, buddy.
That's all right. Well, you nobody goes to the Star Trib for anything. They are notorious. I mean, absolutely infamous for being lopsided in what they call reporting, for editing things for effect rather than truth. I don't even know anybody that reads a Star Trib or even subscribes to it. And I've often wondered how that paper has stayed in business, because it is not at all popular here in this state. As I said, we've got other cases. You are not an isolated case, and that's the first thing that many people will jump to. Well, I never heard of such a thing. It must be an isolated case. Well, just because this isn't just one case. This is going on every day, and the success here in Minnesota has been they have been able to keep this under the radar. They've been able to keep it out of the news, off the TV, out of the papers. And so people think everything's just fine here. It is not. There is so much corruption going on here. And I just got an email. I'm going to say again, for people that are in the cheap seats and slow learners, no one here is pretending to be an attorney. No one is trying to practice law. Nobody is doing anything of the kind. What Sandra is reciting is what she has actually been through and encountered. That does not mean she's practicing law or attempting to or misrepresenting herself. She is telling you what she actually endured at the hands of Dakota County courts. So you stick that in your pipe and do what you will with it. You probably need to put it in there with the weed you're smoking. But anyway, Sandra, with your kids,
yes.
Do you have any contact with them at all now?
No, I've had no contact with them since approximately January of 2013 and February 13th, the last time I'd seen them.
Oh, my God. And you can imagine what they're going through. I mean, seriously, the brainwashing that's going on. I'm sure you've considered parental alienation. You know this is what's happening. And children need their mother. I mean, I keep hearing this stuff about how kids need their father. They need their mom. And they need their father, too, but not if he's abusive. And what I don't understand here with all this harping and carrying on, you know, exactly why they would have been handed to this man. Hold on a second here. We've got a caller here from area code 937. Let me see if this will queue up. Okay, area code 937. Do you have a question or comment for Sandra?
I just want to say that I applaud Sandra's endeavors, and she knows that we've stood our ground with Sandra, and we think that, you know, collectively we need to be able to point out the deficiencies within the judiciary, and that's one of the biggest problems that Sandra has and predominantly so many others that are speaking out, is that we want to talk about abuse.
Right.
And we want to sit there and we want to throw these labels, Marty, but yet when, and that's what the entire judiciary is says, and the police departments and everybody else says, that if you've been a victim of abuse, speak out, speak up, let people know. But when you go in and you say, I have been a victim of judicial abuse, everybody seems to stick their head in the sand and say, oh, my God, this just can't be. Marty, these people are nuts. I mean, do you realize that Sandra is making an allegation here against Judge Knutson? And, you know, we don't want to hear no more. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Let's take a look at the totality of the evidence. When you have Judge Knutson sitting up there, these folks owned 4 homes, 9 cars. And you have to sit there and scratch your head and say, who the hell in their right mind would even draw the conclusion that it's remotely fair when Judge Knutson took everything from Sandra, didn't allow her to even have a place to stay, then ordered 100% of her income to go to her ex. And you have to sit there and you have to say, if that's not tyranny, I don't know what is.
Sandra, they 100% of your income goes to your ex? Under what law?
Yeah, how it worked was they made up a number of what they believed that I could make at my job. So how it worked was they timed me over 2.5 times what I've ever made in a 30-year career at my job. And they said, we're just telling you to work more. So they issued such a high level of child support. And what I had to pay 100% of all the medical expenses, all the insurance, everything. So I didn't make enough to cover that stuff. Therefore, 100% of my pay went towards trying to cover the insurance and the outrageous child support that I could have never paid.
Oh, geez.
That's where the 100%.
Is fraud under Social Security, which administers child support, okay? It's done through Social Security, Titles 4 and 4D. And you go in there, they have a fraud hotline. I've used it myself to report wrongdoing by the courtroom, by egregious orders like what you're talking about. You need to call that fraud hotline and report this, because they will put investigators on this. I'm telling you, they will. And
can I jump in really quick?
Sure.
I doubt it, because I actually reported, this is Mike Volpe, I actually reported the fraud you're talking about. David Ruckey won in 2020, presented himself as a multimillionaire, walks into court 5 or 6 months later and says he's on welfare. And I initially asked Social Security for a comment, and they said, hey, if you think this is fraud, you need to report it. And they gave me the website. I did report it. So this has already been reported. The man walks into a courtroom and claims he's on welfare, walks into 2020 and says he's a multimillionaire. And by the way, he's doing all of this while employing a lawyer at $400 an hour. Lisa Elliott's not doing this pro bono. So somehow he can, on the one hand, be on welfare while he's paying a lawyer $400 an hour. This is massive fraud, but I can tell you for certain that Social Security has been notified, because I'm the one who notified them, if not other people as well.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
And I agree. And he has been reported. We were just at a child support hearing where we produced the evidence of property, the 4 homes he owns, all the vehicles he owns, the boats he owns, the credit cards. We had documents backing everything. We even had W-2 forms. And Dakota County, James Dunhauer, says that on behalf of the state of Minnesota and the county of Dakota, we take no position on whatever his assets are. The state and county have approved him to be on welfare and medical care at 100%. Therefore, what his assets are not relevant. And that is on the record.
Excuse me. Ooh. If you go to social services, and I've had to do this because of my granddaughters, and I don't get like cash and food stamps and all this. All I get is insurance. Just to get that insurance, I had to give a complete list of any assets I owned, and if they exceeded X amount of dollars, you're out the door. So how did this man, with all of this stuff he's acquired, unless he's got it subbed over into somebody else's name, and that's fraud, How could he possibly have been on welfare? I want to know. I'm going to call and find out how he got welfare.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Michelle McDonald, who was the attorney in there, did point this out. And this is just the property that he has not put in his parents, Fred and Vicki Rucki, in Surprise,
uh-huh.
Arizona. He's been wiring down. He's put stuff in Tammy Love of Deep Haven. He's put stuff in her name. I mean, this was just the stuff that he had left in his name, which is homes and cars. And they said, she pointed out exactly what you just said, Marty. They have no comment. But the response was, no comment.
Really? Really?
That, you have to produce it. You have these things. No comment.
Right.
So we
no
just,
comment.
Can I add, so this is
sure.
like Warren Buffett saying, well, you know, I didn't make any money this year, so I should get welfare. And it doesn't matter that I've got $1 billion in assets. That's how ridiculous this is. And it should also be noted that he told the court that he had moved the company into his sister's name, which is a screaming red flag for trying to hide assets.
Fraud.
And he told them. He wasn't hiding it. They knew that he had moved the company into his sister's name and then said, she only pays me $5,000 a month. This is how he does. He claims that he gets $5,000 a month from his sister in the company he essentially gave her, according to the court records. And it didn't matter. And they had his tax returns from previous years. These are millions, multi-millions that he was making. And the court is saying that doesn't matter. His current income is here, so he not only deserves the welfare, but you have to pay him child support. And I guess it doesn't matter that somehow he's able to afford a lawyer at $400 an hour for all of these hearings that he goes to in order to get all of these things.
Achievement.
Michael, bring up my support, my state aid that I was receiving because I'm not a resident of Minnesota. I'm not a resident of the state that I'm ordered to live in. Therefore, the state was giving me for approximately 4 months some state aid. They were giving me $200 of general assistance and some money to eat. I still don't have a home. I have nowhere to cook this food. But the child support judge says, if you were on MCIV, I wouldn't be allowed to take that. But you don't have any kids. Therefore, your GA will be turned over to David Rucki also. So now all you get is $190, which it ended already because I'm not a resident of the state. But when I was getting it, she ordered that money to be turned over to him too. So he's got something going on here. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this is making me sick. This is making me sick. It's almost like you are being hunted. And what this meant, well, of course, it you can see he's trying to hide his assets and everything else. But you have to wonder what the trigger was that after you reached this amicable agreement where all you wanted was the kids and he didn't, and he wanted the company and you let him have it. And how did this attorney jump into this? Did she do this of her own volition? Is this somebody he went and sought out that questioned the divorce?
Well, no, because everything was done with the first attorney and everything was good. Did he send out Lisa Elliott? What we did find out was my first attorney got into it is that David had been planning this entire thing and had been moving money, shedding companies, wiring, doing all these finagles a year in advance. He admitted to Judge Knutson that he had designed this whole thing, that he defrauded me and that I had no clue. And Judge Knutson still blamed the whole thing on me. But the problem was I had Lisa Henry and Brian Toder of Chestnut and Cambrone, and they completely were working together with David and Rucki and his attorney. I mean, I had no idea that they were working in cahoots. And that's a big thing that everybody should be aware of. Be aware that your attorneys could be, they were on my third attorney, and Linda Olaf was my second, and she was also in cahoots with Lisa Elliott. So my first one was the only one that was not and was legit. But my other ones, I mean, that's a really scary thing when you think your attorney's working for you and then you find out later on that they're working in cahoots with them and receiving kickback. But it was a well-designed plan. I had been totally set up. I had no idea. And my first attorney did a great job. I mean, she did not know until she looked into it and went, oh, my God, you have been played. Oh, my God, you've been trying this for years.
Marty, can I add a little context?
Sure.
Yeah, essentially, by saying that he thought it was a fake divorce, he argued that there was fraud. And so that at that point is when Knutson jumped in. He then, first, before he's even technically assigned to the case, even though there's, like, alleged fraud, he puts a guardian ad litem into the situation, even though this is supposed to be a case of alleged fraud. And then he orders a trial. And I don't know where, and Sandra can speak more to this. At some point in the trial, Sandra walks in and her attorney's not there. The attorney, I think it was a female, quits. And then David Knutson says, no, you're going to go ahead as your own attorney. And then, so after ordering her to go pro se, that's when he then rules that there was fraud in the original divorce. And that's how all of that came about. So based on a trial where Sandra was forced to represent herself and she begged to have a continuance so she could get another attorney, he said, no, you're just moving forward. I don't care that your attorney quit. I don't care that you've never been an attorney. Go ahead and go forward. And then he rules that there was fraud in the divorce.
Gee, many Christmas.
And why I
you know, the irony is that, that itself, the irony is that itself is fraudulent. But anyway.
Yes. I've got an email here, Sandra, asking for you to talk about what they did to your attorney in that courtroom, what they did to her that day to humiliate her.
Yes, we had gone into court the first day. It was scheduled for 2 days. Judge Knutson announces to the courtroom that there will not be a second day of trial. It was done. So basically everybody's thinking there wasn't another day. Then we find out that he goes ahead and tells Lisa Elliott and Michelle McDonald there will be a second date. Now, mind you, nobody's going to be there now. So he's now found a way to empty out the whole courtroom by telling people not to come back. We come back the second day, approximately 40 minutes into the trial. Michelle was doing a good job. She was really starting to expose all the things that were going on, enough so the fact of my head was spinning back and forth. The hand signals and the looks on, you know, the guardian, her attorney, the guardians all had attorneys, Judge Knudsen and everybody else. I mean, the looks were going panic. I mean, seriously, it looked like a panic. Wish I could remember that. I can't remember the other attorney, but between Elliot and everybody else, Lisa Elliott, Dave Lucky, Knudsen, you know, Laura Miles, Julie Frederick, you knew something was not right. About 40 minutes into it, Michelle, Judge Knutson says we're going to take a break. So Michelle stands up, and right before that, out of the corner of my eye, I saw three deputies coming my direction, which I thought was kind of strange. I mean, it's a divorce. But two of them stepped up to Michelle, one stepped up to me. They stated, you are under arrest. And I said, for what? What did she do? And she said the same thing. For what? What did I do? And they just said, you are under arrest. They then took Michelle out of the courtroom. We did not know what was going on. I did have two supporters with me that did happen to show up the next day because they told everybody else to go home. And then we were in the hallway. A deputy came out and told us five things. Your attorney has been arrested, booked, jailed. Your trial is over. Leave the courthouse and go home.
Wow.
And my attorney's just been arrested. Had we not even been told that, we still would have been going, you arrested my attorney. Obviously, we're not having a trial. So
right.
We left. And the important thing about this is Judge Knutson just testified at Michelle's hearing that when he was in the back, after he had left and got into his chambers, he had watched on his little closed-circuit TV in his office in his chambers, watched me and my two supporters leave the courthouse. We get into the parking lot, into a car, and leave. And that is when he ordered Michelle to be, she was already handcuffed, but to be handcuffed, shackled to a wheelchair, no glasses, no client, no paperwork. So he knew exactly what he was doing, and she was forced to come out into the courtroom and have a custody case in that manner. And that it was by his direction. The two deputies did testify that Judge Knutson ordered us to do this. And Judge Knutson actually issued an affidavit stating that he knew nothing about it. Well, who's lying here? Clearly the deputies were not.
Right.
And then she came out. He forced her to do the trial that way. I wasn't there, knew nothing about it. And the best part about it is after he orders her to be this done to her and orders her to do the child birthday, he then files a complaint, okay, a man that destroys my life, a judge who destroys my life, files a complaint to the board and says that she wasn't a good enough attorney for me. And
oh, my God.
Okay,
so what, okay, that's all. Go ahead, Mike.
What I wanted to point out, do you think it's just a coincidence that at one point Judge Knudsen forced Sandra to represent herself and then at another point he forced her attorney to represent her while chained to a wheelchair? You think that's a coincidence?
Not even.
Right. He's rigging the game in a way that's obscene. And by the way, have you read about this in the Minneapolis Star Tribune? Have you heard about this in 2020? Do you think maybe that's an important part of the story, that an attorney is forced? And by the way, what 2020 told me in a statement is the fact that Michelle McDonald, that's her attorney, was uncooperative and had to be restrained had nothing to do with the story. It was like, really? So the fact that an attorney is forced to represent a client while strapped to a wheelchair, and Michelle was held for more than 24 hours. There's a $7.5 million lawsuit that's going to proceed. I think the trial starts in July. Apparently, they don't think that an attorney being forced to represent their client strapped to a wheelchair, no matter what you think the attorney did. And they don't think that's important. And the idea that she was uncooperative, that's exactly what the court told me. So it's really interesting that they are parroting what the court is saying. Because I thought 2020 worked for themselves. I didn't realize that they worked for the court.
Yeah, that was it. I lost when I saw that doc, whatever you want to call it. They did that report on Sandra's case, and just having listened to so much of these stories over the years, I knew a setup when I was seeing one. I mean, you knew what you were hearing. This was set up to discredit not only Sandra but also her attorney. You could tell they were confused by what was going on, because what happened while that tape was rolling was not what was supposed to have happened.
Right. And I should also note that the day before, on the eve of the trial, Michelle filed a federal lawsuit against a whole bunch of people, including Judge David Knudsen, acting in his personal capacity. And there's a lot of reasons why she filed that lawsuit, but one of them was because she assumed that if you were facing a multi-$100 million lawsuit, you'd have to recuse yourself because you at that point have a conflict of interest. And she asked him to recuse himself. And by the way, here's how corrupt the judiciary is. When you ask a judge to recuse themselves, you're seriously saying you have a conflict of interest. And the judge goes, no, I don't. And so that's how it works. The judge has to recuse themselves. So she asked this judge to recuse himself because you're facing a multi-$100 million lawsuit. And the judge says, no, I can be unbiased. And it just so happens that a little more than 24 hours later, the same judge forces the same attorney to continue with the trial in handcuffs. So does it sound like he may have had a bias, the exact bias she was asking him to recuse himself for?
Merry Christmas.
Right. Now, can I add some context on another part
of
the story?
Please.
I want everyone to understand the timeline. So right around August 19th or August 20th, a man named Paul Reitman doesn't even know that the Ruckey family exists. Then he's added to the case, and he's added to the case by Judge David Knudsen. He's added to the case in order to assess Sandra as being a parent alienator. So his whole job is to say that she's a parent alienator. So then Sandra gets a note during court to say that you have to go see this guy, and she didn't have a car at this point. And they say, I don't care. You go see him or you're going to lose your kids. A whole bunch of stuff happens. So she goes to see him, and then he spends a half hour with her. And then after that half hour, he sends the judge a letter that says, things are so horrible with this family based on my 30-minute assessment. Well, based on this 30-minute assessment, that we need to remove the mother from the home. So remember, on August 19th, he doesn't even know that the family exists. On September 5th, they hold what they refer to as a telephonic conference, and that's not actually real. It is in Judge Knudsen's court, but in Judge Knudsen's court, anything is real. In a normal, honest court, you can't have a telephonic conference. So by telephone, there are certain people on this conference. Now, let me tell you the three people who aren't. Sandra Grazini Rucki's not on this call. David Rucki's not on this call. Paul Reitman's not on this call. And the call is set up because of his letter. So apparently the letter is so dramatic that you have to have a telephonic conference, but not dramatic enough to invite him to the conference. And then at this telephonic conference, and there's no testimony. It isn't that the people are asked questions and they respond to the questions. It's just, I read the transcript. It's just people talking back and forth. There's no rules at this telephonic conference. Based on this, then Judge Knutson signs an order on September 7th telling Sandra that if she doesn't leave her house within 3 hours and have no contact, not only with her children, but anyone that she knew up to that point, she'd go to jail. When her kids come home, that's right. Even though you have freedom of association, not in Judge David Knutson's court. But listen, if you find that hard to believe, well, keep in mind he scheduled a telephonic conference. Okay, he doesn't schedule regular court hearings. He schedules a telephonic conference. So when our kids come home and find that their mother's not there, they run away and wind up at the Lakeville Police Department. And even though there's a court order forcing, and by the way, as part of the court order, he has David Rucki's sister, Tammy Love, who had her own issues with her own kids, but obviously she was a great parent. He was going to move her in to temporarily take care of the kids. So as a result of his own orders, he removed both parents from the lives of the children. So they run away, and even though there's a court order which forces them at that point to live with their paternal aunt, he lets them live with their maternal aunt. And that goes on until April 19, 2013, when initially the two oldest daughters, they're put into a police station where they're told, you're going to live with your paternal aunt. And by the way, this was the plan from the beginning. And that's when they run away. And Sandra has been criminally convicted. But who does it sound is actually responsible for those kids running away? Does it sound like it's their mother responsible? Or maybe it's Judge David Knutson and everyone else who supported him, including this guy Reitman. And by the way, Reitman, after he wrote the letter, he then recommended a guy named James Gilbertson to be therapist for the children. And Sandra can tell you this, they never had a therapist before. But he recommends that this guy be their therapist, and then he leaves the case. This guy, whose letter set all this up, was in this case for less than 3 weeks. He was able to do that much damage in maybe 18 days. Maybe.
Remind him who paid for Paul Reitman and who paid for James Gilbertson. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. And who's paying for all of it. And by the way, this guy Reitman was interviewed on a local Fox broadcast about this case. And by the way, this local broadcast was broadcast in, like, I think May of 2013, and they somehow arranged an interview with the two older girls who were then in hiding. And the two older girls got, I think, 30 seconds of screen time, and they talked about parental alienation for 5 minutes. So somehow this Fox broadcast, who got the ultimate interview, you're interviewing two kids and nobody knows where they are. You know where they are. You interviewed them. But you think that what they have to say is worthy of 30 seconds. But let's talk about parental alienation for 5 minutes. Reitman at one point said, unless you can prove sexual abuse, you need to force the kids to reunite with the targeted parent. The second thing he said, which is really interesting, is he said, what's the alternative at 10, 12, 13 to tell these children your relationship with your parents is over? Well, Dr. Reitman, Sandra Grazini Rucki hasn't seen her children in more than 4 years. So I don't understand. Your solution seems to have had the exact effect that you claim needs to be stopped. So can you explain why your solution caused these children to not see their mother for more than 4 years? The exact thing that you claim can't happen.
Chief Mini Christmas. My God.
Basically, Marty, what she's saying is everything that I've been accused of, everything that we believe that it's been David Rucki and his attorney and the court projecting onto me that David Rucki has been doing.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you
ever established any connection, Mike, between this Knutson guy and David Rucki? There's a connection there somewhere. Obviously,
right.
A money trail somewhere. And if it's out there,
I haven't,
you can find it.
Right. I haven't established a direct connection between him and David Ruckey. David Ruckey has a lot of friends in the Lakeville Police Department, and
yeah,
that is what I think allows him. Right, that allows him to, you know, the most recent article I wrote, and Sandra referred to this, you know, I found that Judge Aspog had basically fixed the case for David Ruckey in the past, and so did David Knutson, but the case she fixed was involved an incident where his neighbors, they run a daycare center, and the kids were going into the house, so they were going into the house, and apparently David Ruckey was so upset that they were running this daycare center that he runs over, yells at them, and screams obscenities and swear words in front of 2- and 3-year-olds.
Oh,
so
wow.
This was part of a pattern with these neighbors that went on for more than a decade, and the police and the prosecutors essentially did nothing. So far, the only actual punishment I found for his constant terrorism was a $30 fine. If he's faced more punishment for the decade that he terrorized these people, I haven't found it yet, and I've asked the police to produce it. So he definitely has friends in the police department. I don't know exactly what the connection between him and Knutson is. I do know that Knutson, he's got a lot of juice. And by the way, there's one other thing I want to point out about Knutson. From almost the beginning, when Michelle McDonald got on the case, she tried to get Knutson to recuse himself. I broke the story that she had filed this lawsuit, this multi-hundred million, or the $7.5 million lawsuit where she described what happened to her. And I wrote it for a website called WND.com. It got picked up by Alex Jones, who's a conspiracy theorist, but he gets multi-millions to listen to him every day on his radio show. And within a week and a half of the, most importantly, the Alex Jones broadcast, David Knutson quietly, and from what Michelle told me, not quite by the rules, recuses himself from the case. Right, this was, I think, April of 2015. He could recuse himself from the case because by then the damage was completely done.
Was done,
But, yeah, I'm sure it's just a coincidence
that he decided to recuse himself.
Right after that story came out, I'm sure.
New home that he just moved into. We have discussed about David Judge Knutson's new property that since he's been on my case, which is an extravagant home. I don't know why his wife would. I mean, that's been strange. And there's also a document that Michelle McDonald has, and there was an affidavit of Judge Knutson's where it had a really weird statement in there. And he said, nobody's ever accused him up to this point, ever accused him of being friends with David Ruckey or friend Vicky Ruckey or anybody. But he, in this affidavit, he actually makes a statement of, I'm not personal friends with David Ruckey or friend Vicky Ruckey, and I didn't associate with them outside of the courtroom.
Uh-huh.
I know this sounds weird, but if you're not even, nobody's ever brought this up, so why would you write this in an affidavit?
We should mention
that the David's parents are well to do and well off. I don't believe he mentioned them. I don't think he mentioned them in that statement, which is interesting.
Yes.
So he might be very good friends with David Ruckey's parents. He left them out of that statement. But yeah, no, he offered it up without being asked. Right, and he's been very, very quiet since removing himself from the case. And you know, the other thing that's really shocking about this case is when Knutson got on it, he took over not only the family court aspect of it, but he said, I'm going to sit on anything. So when David Ruckey had a violation of a restraining order, he would go in front of David Knutson. Any sort of criminal matter, he'd go in front of David Knutson. Since Sandra's criminal trial, Judge Aspog has done the exact same thing. And not only to her, she was charged with a woman named Dee Dee Evervold who put her in touch with the Dallins, who were the ones who took care of the two girls while they were gone. She has taken over every part of all three cases. And that's not how it's supposed to work. I found that Ruckey violated a restraining order against Sandra, by the way, And Judge Asfog was one of several judges who heard parts of the case. And so what happened when he violated the restraining order, it was a rotating set of judges, and that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yes.
And the reason it's supposed to work that way is because if
and
one
again,
judge
just
takes over
the fact that Judge Asfog was well aware of David's history, his abuse classes.
Right.
I mean, she was well aware of his abusive history, and yet she would sit in the courtroom and say, poor David, or that's poor
right.
victim. And me and the
right.
children
and
are the victim.
What Sandra's defense was in the criminal trial was that she had a genuine fear for her children in his custody. And so there's 99 pages of criminal activity related to him that's put into a dossier. Almost none of that is allowed in. He violated numerous restraining orders. He violated numerous restraining orders. Not only was that not allowed in, you couldn't even say there were restraining orders. His long criminal record wasn't allowed in. He stalked Sandra. That wasn't allowed in.
The GPS that he put under the car. Yep, the sitting outside
mm-hmm.
Michael Regine's home. How many times he called Scott County Police? And then Judge Knutson
mm-hmm.
issued one of his 4,000 orders against me. One of them was, you can't contact any police, police agency regarding David Ruckey.
What? You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, Judge Knutson,
whoa. You can do whatever you want if you're the judge. The most important thing about this case is people need to understand the enormous power that judges have in that courtroom. Do not for a second think that a judge can't do something. A judge can do anything they want in their courtroom. They are the king. They are the dictator. The only thing that stops them is their ethics, their respect for the Constitution, and the judges above them. And this is why it's important to also note Sandra's most recent attorney has been on since 2013. When she has filed appeals, everything that you're hearing, 99% of it, she filed as appeal as a violation of her constitutional rights, and judges would either ignore it or look the other way. She said it was a violation of her Fourth Amendment right that he could remove her from her home without a hearing. And the judge said, well, no, it's fine because he removed her temporarily. Now, keep in mind, she's never been back in her home. How temporary is it? Number one. Number two, even if she was allowed back into the home, this judge is saying it's okay if your Fourth Amendment right is violated, as long as it's only violated temporarily. That's what an appeals court judge said. So you say he can't do that. No, a judge can do whatever he or she pleases, and only their ethics, their respect for the Constitution, their respect for the rule of law, and most importantly, the appeals court judges above them, they are the only ones that hold them in place. And it's not just David Knutson. It's every single appeals court judge who heard this case, who did not care that there are multiple violations of Sandra's constitutional rights, and let it go.
And federal and state laws that were broken by both Karen Asfog and Judge Knutson
mm-hmm.
and Michael Mayer. That's all
mm-hmm.
out there, and it's all documented. That all three of those judges in Dakota County. But yet the state
mm-hmm.
of Minnesota, and this is what irritates me, Marty, is really, well, I'm not a resident here, but the people that live in the state and pay the taxes, you are paying for David Ruckey. And which home? I don't know. But nobody seems to care that you're paying for him, and you're paying for these judges to do what they're doing. And the state knows
mm-hmm.
it, and they think that the people of this state don't believe that we tell them to believe. They don't care as long as it doesn't affect them. I think we talked about
mm-hmm.
this, Marty. And they have to start caring because when is it going to end? It's out of control, and my case shows it.
One of the things I found out recently, and I had discussed this with Brian Kinter on the show last week, and that was Brian, of course, who's called in. He's still online with us. But I found out that when you go to, like, appeals court after you're coming out of these so-called family courts, those are administrative tribunals. So you get the difference I learned late, the difference between an opinion and a ruling. An opinion basically says, the appeals court, their opinion is they didn't do anything wrong. Now, they could have issued a ruling and said, you have to fix this. This is what you did wrong. But as long as they listed it as an opinion, it has no force of law. It has no force and effect on anything. Basically, what they're telling you is you're in the wrong court. And that was a hard lesson for me to accept, that here again we're playing semantics, but you're learning the difference between an opinion of the court and a ruling of the court. But I've seen this happen in other things here in Minnesota, and I've been trying to sound the alarm up here for some years, but honest to God, these people have their heads stuck in the sand. It's just absolutely, and Sandra, as we talked about, unless it lands on their doorstep, they don't care. They do not care.
Then they shouldn't complain about taxes or anything else that's going on, because you, Marty, are doing all you can do to inform people and letting them know what's going on. Example,
yep.
And they don't care, then don't complain.
Yep, exactly. Well, and the other thing is about these judges, too. Yes, they can pretty much do whatever they want to. And I've heard this screaming about, we have immunity, we have immunity, we have immunity. You have immunity only as long as you act within the confines of the law. Once you step outside of that, you no longer have, and you are civilly, personally liable. But if you are in one of these administrative tribunals, you're not bound by the law. You're bound by code and statute. Yep.
And that's essentially what Michelle McDonald argued, and what Judge David Knudsen argued essentially was, no, my immunity is absolute. And the reality is, it's almost absolute. All of this goes back to a U.S. Supreme Court case. And by the way, this is, you want to talk about conflict of interest? It was a 5-4 decision. Five U.S. Supreme Court judges gave all judges immunity. You think that might be a conflict of interest? Judges decided to give all judges immunity. What happened in that case was, at one time, I don't remember if she's Sparkman, but this girl was 15 and she was a little slow. I don't even think she was necessarily mentally retarded, but she was a little slow. Her mother was concerned that she was associating with the wrong kind of men, and she wanted to take away her ability to have children. She walks into this judge's court and that's stumped. And she said, well, you know, she's associating with these men. You need to take away her ability to have children. And he goes, sure, signs the order. And then she's told that, I think, like, it wasn't, she didn't know what it was. She thought it was like a gallbladder being removed. So this girl goes in, she loses her ability to have children. Then she marries Leo Sparkman. And they try to conceive, and they can't. And when a doctor explains it to them, they sue the judge. And these five U.S. Supreme Court judges said, well, you know what, he was acting as a judge, so he should get immunity. So, no, not acting within the confines of the court. This guy had no business taking away her ability to have children, and the judges said it's fine. The supposedly the most accomplished judges. This is the U.S. Supreme Court. And, again, I can't stress enough, it's the most inherent conflict of interest. The judges could decide that judges get immunity. And that's exactly what they did, and that's why it's so hard to sue them.
It is, and I've always likened this to like bank robbers getting together and say, well, if you're going to sue us and hold us accountable for robbing banks, we're just not going to rob any more banks. You know what I'm saying to me? It's just that ludicrous. It is that ludicrous. These people are supposed to be the exemplary examples of justice and the law and the prosecution of the law in a fair and just manner. And what we're finding out is this is a huge criminal enterprise, and it's he who's got the most dollars wins, and usually who ends up with the most dollars is that judge.
Right,
that is
that's
true.
Correct. Can I
you bring up that
one
case,
thing?
Michael, you kind of bring up what Judge Knudsen, he basically, and Karen Aspar, but Judge Knudsen started, he committed murder by the pen. He has made it so I am never to live a lifetime of servitude. I cannot own any property. I can't own a bed, a couch, a shirt. I can't live anywhere. I'm not safe because he leaves David Ruckey on the streets. I can't earn a living. They basically committed murder by the wipe of a pen. So they've destroyed my life and my children's lives simply for the financial of David Ruckey and Judge Knudsen and Karen Aspaugh. Because there's no
there
reason. Our lives are completely destroyed. My children's lives are destroyed. My life is destroyed. I have nothing.
All extrajudicially. There's no such thing as a telephonic conference. Not really.
No. Nope.
And by the way, Michelle kept pointing that out, that he made this extrajudicial act, and they didn't care. Didn't matter. okay?
4,000 orders?
Just...
No human could do that. Follow 4,000
orders. He signs 4,000 orders. He forces an attorney to represent her client when her client's not there, which is a violation of the client's due process. And then,
right.
And then, and keep in mind that the custody order, which Dave David Ruckey, sole custody of his kids, came after this custody trial. So he does it extrajudiciously, but it's okay. It's okay because he's a judge. And it's okay, and it all starts with that Supreme Court ruling. Because, look, as the guy who explained this to me said, look, if a judge can take away your ability to have children without a hearing, without you even knowing it, the judge can do anything, and there's nothing you can do.
And unfortunately, we have nowhere to go at this point to get remedy.
The commission's on the board. He's on the
you
board.
Know.
He'll tell you that. Go ahead and file a complaint against me. By the way, I'm on the board. So go ahead
I'm
and
on
file
board.
A complaint. It goes to me. That's what I'm saying.
No,
go ahead and file a complaint against them. I'm on the board.
Right. No, you do have a place. It's to the court of public opinion. So the people who are listening, if you're outraged, you should be calling the Dakota County Courthouse demanding answers. You should be calling the Dakota County Prosecutor. The head of that prosecutor's office is James Backstrom. Ask them, is it true that David Ruckey terrorized his neighbors for a decade and more? What did you do about it? Call the Lakeville Police Department and ask them, is it true that David Ruckey terrorized his neighbors for a decade? What did you do? Are people allowed to terrorize their neighbors in your city and you don't do anything about it? What's allowed? Call the governor and say, here's what I heard. Is this really true? Are you going to pardon this woman? Because it doesn't sound like anything's been done fairly. So
no,
that's
it
the
doesn't.
Only option you have is the court of public opinion at this point. There's no way you're going to get justice in any courtroom in Dakota County for Sandra. It's clear that they're working, that they're basically a tool of David Ruckey. It's clear.
Yes. Yes.
Marty.
We've got about, yes, Brian, go ahead.
I just wanted to add in there is that you know, the U.S. Supreme Court now in Hafer versus Milo and in Caperton versus Massey has already clearly defined that, you know, there's no such thing as absolute immunity. Immunity, if any, can only be limited or qualified. It has to be determined upon the facts and the evidence presented at trial. The problem is that you're going back into the same courthouse, you're going back into the same lion's den, and you're asking them to give you a remedy of relief, and they're just denying you because you're taking one of their own brotherhood to task. But not only is it about the court of public opinion, it's also about getting it to Congress. It's about preaching it from the mountaintops and just screaming out, and that's why I'm applauding the fact that we now have Sandra Gazzini-Ruckey on Future of Our Children radio program to be able to tell anybody and everybody about the proliferation of abuse that's been delivered to her at the hands of our judicial system. Because we have to make a demand for change, and that's the reason for the jam, because I'm saying without accountability of our judiciary, everything else is lost.
There you go. And we've got less than 90 seconds left here. Sandra, what night are your shows going to air?
My show is starting my first show tomorrow night, Monday night.
Okay.
7 to 9. Yep, it'll be Monday nights at 7 to 9.
All right. We'll make sure we're tuning in to you there. I want to thank Mike. Thank you for so much for coming on and adding to this. Brian, of course, you're always welcome. We will be back Sunday evening, tomorrow evening. Danny Tate will be on. He's a Nashville songwriter that got caught in one of these guardianships and has been cleaned out. And we'll be back Thursday night with Whistleblowers. And we'll have Eddie Slaughter on from Alabama about the changes at the USDA, if any. And we'll be rolling on from there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate all the participation. And let's keep running our mouths, because that's the only way people are going to find out. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.